see that this time. So you were saying that that really gave you a sense of freedom that you hadn't had. And okay, now your husband, what shift is he working?
He worked all three shifts, but he usually worked either the swing or the graveyard shift.
Mm-hmm.
So many nights I'd come home from work and find him sleeping in. We didn't have a telephone. We couldn't get a telephone, and I'd have to go way back down to San Fernando Road. I thought, I said it was three blocks, but it seemed to me more, it must have been about three quarters of a mile down there to a telephone. There after midnight, they got home about 2 o'clock. He would call me, he'd be late to work or he wouldn't be in. So one night, he said, oh, lay me off. And he wouldn't get up and go down there, so I run down there at the telephone, and I told him, I said, well, slip in again. And I said, he'll be to work, but don't you tell him I said so, because he wanted off. He said, we won't tell on you. And I went back home, told him, I said, they said for you to get to work as fast as you could get there. Well, that's the last time he ever slept in.
So, how would, when you came home, say, that first day after applying there to get the job, did you let him know right away that you had gotten a job?
You know, when I come home, when I got the job, I told him, I said, I'll be going to work tomorrow.
What did he say?
Nothing.
How were the two of you getting along then through that period?
Huh?
How were the two of you getting along then during that period?
Oh, as well as any old people do, where they work all hours and stop at the bars on the way home.
Mm-hmm.
But, I was going to say, the only thing he did say, well, if they've got a union, join it.
So. Did they have a union?
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh.
But you had to work, I think, 90 days before you could join.
Mm-hmm. Did you?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, which union was that?
That was the, IAM, Industrial...
The Machinists.
Yeah, the machinist.
Mm-hmm. So, you joined the IAM?
Mm-hmm.
Did you have a choice of joining it or not, or did everyone?
Yeah, you could. You had a choice, but they told you if you joined, they expected you to stay in it.
Mm-hmm.
That's. But I'd have stayed in it anyhow because my husband said when you work, if there's a union, join it, regardless of how poor it is.
Mm-hmm.
And, they did a lot for us. We had a good union.
Mm-hmm.
I still believe that other people would be better off. They, not people, I don't believe in the union. Well, if they had to get down and work like we did under the circumstances, they'd be glad to join the union. But a lot of them just don't want to put out the money. A lot of them get it back in return.
Oh, yeah. Could you tell me about the union at Lockheed, what it was like and what kinds of things it did for you?
Well, they got us our raises. They protected our seniority.
Mm-hmm.
And they got us better fringe benefits all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
And we get... when any of them die, the union pays, I think they pay about $300.
Mm-hmm.
So they, for, to help on burial benefits. And we had alcoholics that couldn't get adjusted. Lockheed would send them, the hospital, but the union backed them. You know, that like one girl there, she, they finally, after she'd worked here about 21 years, and they finally had to fire her because of her drinking.
Mm-hmm.
And our union steward tried his best to let him take her to a hospital, mm-hmm. and she wouldn't do it. And he just, he'd go out and see how she's getting along and everything. But, I'll tell you, there's more good than I can think of. If they even get on our pensions, a raise now and then. And, there's some supervisors are sneaky, you know, and they favor people. Well, the union catches them at it. They straighten them out in a hurry. Mm-hmm.
Did you, during the war, did many of the other women get into the union?
Did they what?
Did other women join the union?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There was more of them did than didn't.
Uh-huh. How did the union seem to feel about the women?
They were glad. Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, yeah. The more the members they get, the better.
Mm-hmm. Did you go to meetings and things, union meetings?
Well, I didn't have a chance during the war, and I don't really tell you the truth. I don't think they had too many union meetings during the war, because the hustle and bustle of everything. But afterwards, after I went back in 51, we had a carpool, and some of the riders wouldn't favor going to the union, but or to the meetings, but we get a now and then get a load that everybody wanted to go. Why, we went regularly.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you were working at Lockheed during the war, then you rode the bus the whole time.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that was a special Lockheed bus.
Yeah, a charter. Mm-hmm. It was Los Angeles City bus, but they chartered mm-hmm. them to make their runs on schedule.
Mm-hmm. Now, what outside of taking care of the bus, were there any other special services at Lockheed for the war workers?
No, just the buses. And some people carried riders so they could get more gasoline. If they hauled riders, they'd sign up. They had to prove that they were hauling them so they could get more gasoline and tires. Yeah, but some of them, you know, they'd get people to sign up for them and haul them a few times and then forget all about them. Yeah. So I wouldn't ride with anybody on that account.
Did the company, so were there any kind of banking or shopping
service? Oh, yeah, they had little shopping or little stores across their art. In fact, I bought nearly all my slacks there, mm-hmm. but as far as banking, I don't believe we could cash our checks mm-hmm. if we wanted to, mm-hmm. but I never liked to carry my money. I had to walk some distance there at night, and I didn't want to carry my money, so I always run over to the bank, and Lincoln Heights is right close, and cash my check. Mm-hmm. Mm.
So working that shift, you could also, then you had the day to do things like go to the bank.
Yeah, but that was an ordeal too. If you had to go any place on the bus, you had to stand in line. I used to walk over to Lincoln Heights or Highland Park, but if I had to go to down L.A., well, I had to take the bus. Mm-hmm. And it was all queued up there, and then the bus was jam-packed, or they pulled out, and then you had to stand and wait for the next one. Mm-hmm.
How did people seem to feel about waiting in all those lines?
A lot of them took it in stride, and then there was always the usual bunch of gripers mm-hmm. that just couldn't see anything.
How did you feel about all that?
I knew it couldn't be helped, so yeah. Just take it as it comes.
Yeah. Did did you schedule yourself with this working the swing shift? I mean, what would your average day be like?
You mean my homework? I get up at 8 o'clock in the morning and get my shopping done. See, at this time, my apartment was attached to a grocery store, so all I had to do was run around and get my groceries. Mm-hmm. And then I had Sunday off. Mm-hmm. I worked Saturday, so I had Sunday off. I'd sold my washing machine, and so I'd get out and do my washing on the washboard on on Sunday and get it dried and ironed. And then, of course, apartment only had two rooms, so it didn't take much to clean it up. It just was almost a schedule all the way through. Mm-hmm. And then when we bought our house, well, then we had a lot to do. I had to, had a lot of cleaning up there to do. I'd get out and work until time to go in and get something to eat and get cleaned up, go to catch my bus. Just almost every man for himself.
So you would basically spend the day before you went into work doing your housework
and yard work. And
did you have any trouble with rationing?
With rationing? Oh, yes, in certain things, my husband thought he couldn't live without his coffee and white bread and butter, and it didn't bother me so much, but it was his continual griping about it all the time. He expected me to get it whether it was there or not. Mm-hmm. So.
Are you, when you were working there, did you ever have a women's counseling system?
Oh, yes, we had counselors.
Mm-hmm. What did they do?
Well, they told you how to get along with people and at work, and them that couldn't arrange their schedule. They give them pointers on that, and they give pointers on how to keep up your health. And I think only about once when we first went in, but is the first about the only time I ever had any contact with a counselor, but. I know others would they'd get kind of dreary and they'd go see the counselor. Mm-hmm. Some of the work wouldn't go and suit them. Why, they'd run up to see her and she'd talk to them, and just like smoothing the cat's fur.
Did they have regular meetings with the women who are working there?
Not that I know of.
Uh-huh. So they. Were they the people who were doing that orientation that you talked about before?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that was the women's house?
Yes.
Because I remember you said that was when they had told you about getting along with people. Mm-hmm. So they sort of took. Did everyone go in at once, or I mean, was there a group of people?
Just a group. The group that was coming in to plant on that shift.
Mm-hmm.
She was an awful nice person. She'd give you any little helpful hints, whether it was pertaining to the work or not.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just a wonderful person to talk to,
mm-hmm.
and or to listen to.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember her name by any chance?
No, I don't. I'll tell you, there's names have just escaped me from. Well, I can't, some of the people I worked right with, I can't remember their names, I don't know.
Uh-huh.
But they come and went so fast,
mm-hmm.
but, especially during the war.
Yeah, that was really only a few years. So, did you ever get any kind of company publication while you were there, anything that told the workers about things that were going on or anything
well,
like that?
I don't know whether we had it during the war, but I can't remember that. But they do put out, they call them the Lockheed Star,
mm-hmm.
that tells, you know, all the changes and the new things coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And then our union paper puts out, but theirs is more of the business.
Mm-hmm.
Is but they, that was about the most of it, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Did, were there any things like, say, where, I know at some of the other plants they had movie stars and people like that come through. Were you ever aware of any of that at Lockheed? Or?
No, I don't, can't ever recall any. If they did, they'd be on the day shift.
Because
none of them like to come in at night.
Yeah.
But that's, no, they, I was going to say, too, they, every now and then, I don't know whether it pertains to what, to your question or not, that we'd have meetings, our department, that, to tell us new changes and things.
Mm-hmm.
I think that fits in there with your,
oh,
but
yeah.
No, we never had any entertainment that, the only time was at Christmas, and that was a Lockheed's choral course, but and a lecture from the president of the company.
Mm-hmm. So they had a choral group that workers could go and join if they wanted to. Or?
Well, they were the workers in the plant, them that wanted to that were musical.
Mm-hmm.
That, would join. Of course, they were all the office workers.
Uh-huh. Did they have anything like, so you're saying mainly office workers rather than plant workers would be doing that?
Mm-hmm.
Did they have any recreation clubs or social?
Oh, yeah, they have, well, let's see, they have tennis and softball and, and that at lunch and break time they used to have ping pong tables. But yeah, every now and then I see in the paper or who won the in this little Lockheed Star who had won the championships of softball or tennis or I think that's about the only sports that I know that. And then they have their, and see there's a, they have a park up there that's dedicated to one of the Gross Brothers. That they have their annual Lockheed picnic and entertainment going on there every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I never ever got a chance to go.
What did you do for social life?
Me?
Uh-huh.
Nothing. Only when my husband was alive, we'd go sometimes downtown to an early morning show,
mm-hmm.
when I was working, and other than that, we just never had the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then I never was one to. A lot of them, they'd go to the bars, but a bar is one place I never could see any entertainment in.
Now you also worked on the center section, you said, and what were you doing then?
On the center section, cutting in the setting in the corrugated section and riveting in it to the main beam.
You were doing riveting.
Mm-hmm.
There. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And on the fuel.
But that wasn't classified as a riveter.
Oh, it wasn't. Uh-huh. What was? What were you called?
Well, general mechanic. General Assembler.
Oh, I see.
I'll tell you about the some of the riveters when they began to lay off and cut down after the war. I don't know whether this should go on tape or not.
Well, if you decide later, we
could. Well, they brought down a bunch of women. This was on the P-80 mm-hmm. that were supposed to be A riveters. Mm-hmm. A, that highest classification in riveters. They start out at the C, B, and A. Mm-hmm. And, of course, when they brought them down from another plant, there wasn't anything for them to do, so they sat back over in a corner there making jewelry out of stainless steel. And we was doing the work that they should been doing out on a wooden jig. And so then when the parts come in that they could work on, well, then they was to rivet the skins on the bulkheads, the framework. Well, supervisor told me one day, he said, go in, I had to crawl in the ship, just the hull, and check the rivets over. And I went in, and I looked up, and along this longeron up here where the skin was there, well, there was great long rivets. They had just bent over, and they'd been rivets put in and bent over, and the skin was over. I never saw such a mess in all my life. I said, oh, it was noisy as all get out. And I said, oh, my God, they call themselves riveters. And I looked around, and they had stands that this framework was setting on. I was sitting on this end, and I looked at, turned around to go out, and the supervisor sat here. So I said, well, what do you think of that? He says, it's a going back. And so then they sent it back to the riveters, and then the first thing you know, I hear all these riveters. There was, must have been a dozen or more women, all going up on the balcony to learn how to rivet. They had A1 classifications. Well, we had to drill that all out. No, I took it back. I thought we was going to have to. And I thought, my goodness, tear that all to pieces. But they sent it back down and made them make the lead men drill all those. My goodness, a rivet's only supposed to be that much through the skin to buck ahead. And they was putting them, some of them, I swear, was an inch long.
Mm-hmm. So, they, to be a riveter, they should know what length of rivets to use.
For the classification they had, they should have been experts.
Uh-huh. So, in terms of, like, pay scale and different jobs, you started out as a, were you a general assembler throughout the
war? I started out as, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what was your pay like at the beginning of the war? Do you remember?
What was my pay?
Uh-huh.
Well, let's see. Started out, when I went to school, started out at 65 cents an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And I was there 3 years, and I think the last pay was a dollar. I think it was $1.10 or $1.17. I don't remember which.
Mm-hmm.
I know the top's $1.27, but I hadn't been there quite long enough to make the 27 cents.
Mm-hmm.
When I went back, I hired in at $1.65.
When you were working during the war years, did that seem like high pay?
Did what?
Did that seem like, did the pay seem high, or did it seem about...
Oh, it seemed like a fortune to me, because I'd never worked before.
What did you do with your money?
I spent part of it and banked part of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. that you decided what you would do with it yourself, or?
Well, as long as my first husband lived, we pooled our money,
mm-hmm.
and after that, after he died, I went back to work. I put it in the bank and improved the place.
Mm-hmm.
Put a lot of money in on improving the place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you when you were working there, you worked on the center section, and that was doing the riveting with the corrugated stuff. How long did you work at that job? You said you were at the shrouds for about a month.
Yeah, well, I think the most of the 3 years, no, 2 years there, because I was there 3, and I think after the war was over, and that was 45. Well, then the next year, or most of the next year, I worked on the P-80, so that'd be that... It'll be about 2 years. The nearest I can say is 2 years on the center section in the tanks.
Mm-hmm. Okay.